of talent. The only thing I can do is stand up here and talk. So, you know, I appreciate. Well, this is a message that has been in the works. I've had probably, I don't know, 3 weeks or so to think about the message. And this is from the passage that I just read. I have given them the glory that you gave me, Jesus speaking, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. It is my prayer that whatever happens here, you would be in complete unity. Because, and I don't know if this mic is, Aubrey keeps telling me that I breathe in it, so that no matter what happens here, you'll be in complete unity. Because if we stand united, then we're going to be united. But divided, we fall. You've heard that saying before, right? Amen. Unity is incredibly important. And like I say, no matter what happens here, I pray that you all would be in unity. And that's what the message is going to be this morning. And so, in thinking about unity, I thought, you know, what can I do as your pastor to talk about unity? And as I thought about it, I really appreciated the education that I got at Westminster Seminary. And one of the things that they drilled within us, I mean, I was there for, I was there for a long time, only because I went part-time for a while, but I was there for probably, I don't know, 5 years. And I really appreciated the education that I got there. And they drilled within us that whatever you do, pastors, preach Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the focus of everything that they taught us. And everything was Christocentric. It all revolved around Jesus. And as you know, we have two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament is all about Jesus as well, believe it or not. Because it's always talking about what's coming, what's coming, what's coming, what's coming, what's coming. And whatever happened in those days when Moses led the people out of the bondage, and I'll probably be talking about that next week. I think that's what we're going to be talking about. Even then, it was indicative of what was going to happen to us. That he's taken us out of the bondage of sin and into a glory. With Sunday school this morning, y'all ought to be there. Julie did a great job. And she talked about grace, right? And who we are, that we are ushered into a new relationship because of Jesus Christ. And that's taken us out of the bondage of sin, because the Bible says that we are all sinners and that we've all sinned and we fall short of God's glory and we need a Savior. And as Bill and I prayed, we asked Jesus to come into his life. Right, Bill? Amen. And when we do that, now we're ushered into a new life, a new relationship. And that's just like the Israelites being led into a land full of milk and honey. And we'll talk maybe more about that next week. Because before they got into the land of milk and honey, they went through the wilderness. And, oh yeah, by the way, when God led them out of bondage, now maybe I'm speaking about next week's sermon, or my wife's saying, yeah, you know, this is what happens to a preacher, you know. But anyway, he led them out of bondage, and can you imagine? They were beaten severely, many of them beaten to death, and all because of who they were as God's chosen people. And I can't even imagine what it was like. And God says, I'm going to bring you a deliverer. And he called Moses, as you know, to deliver them, to bring them out of bondage. Yay! Right? We're going out of bondage. Hey, wow, this is wonderful. Right? Y'all can say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
What was coming?
I think they did yell yay, and as they, but I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I would imagine that they were yelling yay. I mean, I certainly would, but they didn't know, did they? They didn't know what they were getting into and where God was taking them. And God took them into the promised land, right? He brought them out, took them through the tree, and put them in the promised land, correct?
Took them a while again.
No, that's not correct, right? He took him into the wilderness. Think about that, right? He took him into the wilderness, and guess what? So much like us. So much like, they grumbled and they complained.
Amen.
You know, Moses, what in the world are you doing? You brought us out into this God-forsaken wilderness, and here we are. We don't have water, right? And Moses, and I got to say, I feel a little bit like Moses every once in a while. And I felt like that lately. And so Moses, I'm sure, felt like, you know, God, what do you want me to do with these people? What do you want me to do with these people? And God spoke to him, and God provided. And I guess I'll talk more about that. Yeah, Deb says you better, you know. All right, so anyway, that to be continued next week, okay? And so this morning, as your pastor, as your leader, I have this question for you. Why do we exist as a church? Why do we exist as a church? Well, here we go. To meet the needs of the people, right? It's unfair. You already did the slide, so okay.
I believe we should be one with God and one with our neighbor. That's why we exist. That's what you should try to be doing.
Okay. Well, to meet the needs of the people, sounds good, right? To fellowship together, certainly, right? To learn God's word, that's what we're doing this morning. Hopefully, right? To encourage one another, certainly we want to do that. All great reasons for why we gather, but these reasons don't answer that question about why we exist. Those answers don't answer that question. The question still remains, why do we exist? Even though we got all of those great reasons. Now, when asked the question on a survey that Will Am did, he did a survey amongst a bunch of churches and their members, and he said that 89% of the members, when they were asked that question, why do we exist as a church, here's what they said. To meet the needs of the people, just like the slide said. 11% said to proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost world. Interesting. Now, the same pastors of the members of these churches that he surveyed said the exact opposite. Interesting. Right? 90% of the pastors said the church exists to proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost world. Only 10% of those pastors said that it was to meet the needs of the people. And I don't hear too many amens on this, because fortunately or unfortunately, we think the church exists for the reasons that were up on the screen a while ago. That's not why the church exists. God has given us, many of you might know, and the first church was started by Jesus Christ and the apostles. And so we need to look at the first church because we are all a result of what happened that day of Pentecost and when the church was first born. That was the reason, that is the reason why we exist today. And you know, Christ and all that he did by dying on the cross, shedding his blood for us, going through the sufferings that he did for us. He could have said, okay, you know what? You know, that's good enough. That's all you get. And in Christ, his death is sufficient for sure. But you know, he went above and beyond that. He says, here's your gift. I'm going to make you a church. Franklin Hill, I'm going to make you a church. I'm going to give you a church. It's your gift. The church is a gift to us so that we can get together and do the kinds of things that are... But let's remember why we exist. It's to proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world. And that's why I'm here. And that's why Westminster Seminary exists. Because we need to proclaim the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to a lost world. And you know, it's like a present. And I need to... I borrowed this from Bruce. And Deb wrapped it because I'm a lousy rapper. In all ways. This rap music today, I don't know. But anyway, that's a whole other... Kathy, you're a great volunteer here. Sure. Can you open that? Okay, let's watch Kathy open that present. Yeah, you got to stand up. There we are, yeah.
I don't take long, I'll tell you that.
Man, she's tearing into it. Look at that. All right, open it and see what's... Don't you want to see what's inside? There is something inside.
Oh, something about Dunkin' Donuts?
It's a Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
Oh, there. Thank you. Is this...
That's for you.
That's for me.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Am I done?
You're done. What do you think about that? Yeah. Yeah. Now, Kathy had to tear open the gift. And the gift is full of paper, ribbons, and paper, and box, and, you know, she didn't really care much about, you know, the wrapping, the ribbon, the box. She went right for the gift card. And, you know, as God's gift, God gave us this church. And it's not about all of the things around why we exist. That's not what it's about. That's just ribbons, paper, more paper, a box. We exist because of what was in that. That's the most important thing. It's what the gift is. We cannot lose sight of what the gift is. It's not about all the trappings that go on. It's about the gift that God has given us in the church. Here's Acts 4, the early church. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken. Notice, as they prayed, the place was in which they gathered was shaken, and all, no division, all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The early church knew why they existed. They were right for what God had intended for them. And then in verse 32, it's no. One heart, one soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own. Notice that? No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was their own. But they had everything in common. And what was that? They knew why they existed. It was to proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost world, and that's what they did. And their numbers were continually increased. The church grew to thousands and thousands. Now, can Franklin Hill grow? If we know why we exist. If we know why we exist, and that's why I'm here. Because I know why you exist. Do you know why you exist? If we go out and we proclaim the word of Jesus Christ to think if we did that just on Franklin Hill Road alone, we'd probably have to go to a second service. Whoa! Right? They had everything in common. They were all united in what they all had agreed upon. So here's the question. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? What's the answer to that? Go ahead. Is it yes or no? We have agreed to meet here and worship God. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the real question for us this morning. Here it is. Couple questions. Are we united in why we exist? Are we united in why we exist? Are we? I hope so too. That's my prayer. Are we united in why we exist? Not in all the trappings of, whatever we think. Are we united in the unanimous decision that the church has made? Whoa. Then in verse 33 it says, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew why they existed. And great grace fell upon them all. And thank you, Julie, for the lesson this morning. Because did we get together and talk about that? No. Any coincidence that was on Julie's heart this morning? With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Thank you, Kathy. Grace. Many have talked about grace as being God giving us something that we don't deserve. I don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here either. This was a gift that God has given us. What are you going to do with the gift? That's the question. What are you going to do with the gift? We are here because God is giving us something that we don't deserve. Great grace was upon all. With great unity comes great power and great grace for all of us here at Franklin Hill.
Amen.
Well, I hear amen from a few. The rest is up to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God? I didn't say those verses in Acts. I didn't say those. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God himself, wrote those so that we could be here this morning and refer to those and apply those to our church. And I'm always about making the Word of God practical. That's what I did in my career as a pastoral counselor. I always wanted to make the Word of God practical. With great unity, great power, and great grace for us all at Franklin Hill. So here we go. As I close, the unity of the church needs to be our drive more than ever. And I'll put more than ever before. It's up to you. It's up to you, church. It's up to you, Franklin Hill. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? That's your choice. That's your decision. And I will respect your choice and your decision because I serve a God who's bigger than all of us.
Amen.
And as Bruce said, I'm going to talk to the real boss when he left. Yep. And I am too. So let's. Here's the takeaway. I've already given it to you. What are we going to do? Let's turn in our bulletins. And we're going to sing page 18. Bind us together.